Welcome to Laugh Factory Live Podcast with Ian Ellis and Kimberly Merriam. This week we took a little road gig up to Madison. We had a gig at The Fountain for 102.9, local radio station. And while we were there, we ran into my man Leonard Utz, who was headlining at Comedy on State, and he brought with him his man Javon Bibbs. We sat down, we only got to catch up with him for like a half hour, and Javon Bibbs had to take off right away, so we didn't get to talk to him much. Hopefully we can catch him much more next time he's in town. In this episode, Leonard Utz drops a list of his favorite comedians. He actually drops 11 of them, so we're going to call it Utz's 11. In the episode description, you will find all of the names, okay? You don't have to rewind, you don't have to figure out how to spell them. You just go to the episode description, find these dudes, start following them on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, because these are the dudes that are about to be, like, crazy in the game. Like, these are dudes you should know. That if the opportunity ever comes up, you definitely want to work with them, because they're going to be cool people. Speaking of dope comics you should watch, next week on the episode, we have a 3-hour-long interview with Brian Dobie. If you don't know who Brian Dobie is, start Googling and searching him now. And then don't forget that coming up on 420, my man Will Miles is about to drop his first album. I don't know the title yet, but on 420, on April 20th, I'm going to iTunes, I'm putting the name Will Miles, I'm going to buy that album. Or, you know, if I'm broke, I might go to Tidal and listen to it there. But, you know, when I got some money again, then I'm going to go buy it. So, you know. Alright, you can follow me, Ian Ellis, on Twitter, at Chicago Open Mic. You can follow KB, at WhySoFunny1. You can follow the Laugh Factory Chicago, at LaughFactory_CH. Peace!
You look funny.
Welcome to the Laugh Factory Podcast, hosted by Ian Ellis and
KB Marion, and we have a special guest today.
Two incredibly special guests. Coming up, the big man, fresh off of Conan. Every time I see you, you in New York or L.A., you know, official at the cellar. You sit at the table, my man, Mr. Leonard Utz.
Hi, what's going on? We here.
And you brought your boy with you?
Javon Bibbs, you know.
OG. Regular road comic. OG. You worked with some of the greats.
Yeah, I definitely have worked with some of the greats.
You might have, man, look, he being humble. You just seen him on the Laugh-a-Palooza.
You're drinking comic
like view. My man, look, my man a legend, man. Y'all ain't going to look from St. Louis.
I love
St. Louis.
Yeah.
You say you, so you love. I'm like, do you like? Would you move there?
No. Okay.
So it's an iffy love.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about something we kind of touched on before, where you were talking about like the process that you're going to is like a black comic or a female comic. Like you feel like there's a line and there's not that many people and
it's not that much opportunity. It's opportunity for everybody, but it's not. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's just, it's apples and oranges. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's, no matter how much you like an apple.
And bananas and grapes.
That's exactly what it is, man. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it feels like big showbiz, like, you got to stay in a lane.
Yeah.
Or you got to like make your own way or something.
You got to find what you're good at and stick to it. You know what I mean? Adam Sandler is good at goofy-ass movies.
Yeah.
Goofy, taking this thought and tweaking it and putting his people in these positions. Kevin Hart is good at being who he is.
Yeah.
And he's in all these different movies, he's the same person. Why? Because he's who he is.
I know you fuck with Patrice. Do you believe in the cartels?
The cartel? What you mean?
He used to say, like, there's cartels. Like, there's an Amy Schumer cartel. Or the Judd Apatow cartel.
Oh, yeah.
Or Clicks, or, you know.
Clicks. Yeah. Adam Sandler come out. Look at every movie you're going to see Rob Schneider in an Adam Sandler movie.
Sandler, Nick,
you know,
Sportson,
what I mean? You're going to always see. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to. You're supposed to put team together.
Eddie Murphy, right. Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio. Yeah. You're supposed to. Everybody's supposed to. You're not supposed to click up, because clicking up is gay. But you're supposed to. You find people you cohesive with, and you build your squad, and you get like the Bulls in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're about to do. Listen.
Who's in your squad then?
Javon, Willie Lynch Jr., Rob Hayes from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Anthony Moore from Philly, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Angus Black, Bodacious from Virginia. Like, I got some people. Marshall Brandon from Connecticut, yeah. Kareem Green from New York.
Yeah.
Omar, Smokey Suarez. Come on, man, talent. You know what I mean? Like you gotta have the people that you know. Hey, if I know I need to produce a script, Marshall, I'm gonna call Marshall. I'm gonna call Rob.
Yeah.
You know, if I need to go on the road, I'm gonna take Kareem. Hey, because Kareem is one of the best joke writers in the game. I'm gonna take Javon. I'm going to take Willie because I need to add something to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got to know what you... You got to know what the plan is. You got to set a goal.
But what is like your criteria to qualify someone as good? Like
as good?
It's down with your crew. Like, what is the qualification?
Or what'll get you kicked out? Where you're like, you know,
unloyal in jokes,
stealing jokes, yeah. Not being Ooh. Loyal, not being, you know what I mean?
No, you're right. Loyalty, I think that goes before anything. You know what I'm saying? When you're talking about making a group of anything, loyalty, that's the starting point. Like, if you ain't loyal, like, you know what I'm saying? That's a breaking point for me.
I can't.
Oh, can you cuss? Can you cuss?
You can say whatever you want.
Podcast. This ain't the radio.
Shit, I didn't know.
we recording on this man's phone.
But some people be like, man, come on, Christian radio podcast.
My fault. Look, it's a nice phone. No, after you, I recorded an album on my iPhone. Well, after you go back and, man, people sleep on, like, they I wanted to tell them not to charge me this weekend to record my stuff. Mm-hmm. But hey, I got my cell phone, I'm going to charge it up, I'm going to go ahead and hit record, voice memo, it out. But no, I mean, you got to build your squad, man. You got to, if you don't build a squad, you just got to have people that you can call when it's time. Because everybody gets a chance.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody gets a chance. Everybody gets a shot. Hey, you got some lotion? Because I'm a little bit ashy.
I'll check. I don't know if I
you
got lotion.
You don't know
lotion.
If you got lotion? Come on now. You got to have.
Are you itching?
No, I'm just look at my knuckles.
They ain't got no lotion over there.
Look at my. Oh, they might have some lotion.
They do got some lotion.
You see it?
Yeah, I see it right there.
Okay.
It's by the mouthwash.
Oh, yeah, that is some lotion. My fault. Appreciate you.
Did you start out in Mississippi?
Mississippi. I'm from Virginia.
Virginia. Oh, I'm next.
No, I'm talking about Mississippi, Virginia. It's a part of Virginia.
I was in Mississippi.
I was just thinking Southern.
No. I was in Mississippi for a few months when I first started. My story is I went to college for a year, realized it wasn't for me, dropped out. My parents got mad.
You better have a job and be out by the end of the week.
Right. I went to live with my dad in Mississippi because he was down there. My dad was in the military. So I was in Pascagoula, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I sort of got funny at, like, being on the road. You know what I mean? Being away from home, being out your comfort zone. And then I came back to Virginia, took that shit over. A year after I dropped out of college, they brought Comic View back with some more.
Mm-hmm.
I got on that at 1920.
What?
1920, I got on that. And then I thought it was going to blow me.
Did they think you were Lavelle Crawford? And
they air your stuff, dog?
No, they didn't air my set.
What?
I'm glad they didn't. Compared to where I'm at now.
I think everybody think, when I first did Comic View, I was in the same boat. I thought I was finna blow. Like, when you on television, you be like, and when you young, I was 23. You were 20?
I was like 19, 20.
Yeah, man.
Feels like that fast track is coming.
Man.
Dude, but then you hit reality. You like, damn. I see why.
I filmed Comic View, and then the next week, the next day, I was back at IHOP.
Oh, Jesus.
Back at IHOP, clocking in.
I've had plenty of those nights.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like,
Saturday, 7 a.m., I'm going to be slinging chicken. So.
Right. Right. No, I know how I go. So then, where you slinging at? Harold's? I was about to say, if you worked at Harold's? I went to Harold's the other day. Man, they gave me these little winglets. I was like, they let anybody open the Harold's.
Yeah, they basically do. And not all the Harold's are really there to sell chicken.
Man.
They selling other stuff.
Wingless big like safety pins. Like small, small, no meat on the bone.
I thought they were going to play the show downstairs.
Oh, you know what? I got to go down there, man.
Yeah, got to make sure. Well, the show just started. You're probably good right now. All right.
Before you have to run off like crazy, where can people find you?
Man, you can. Hey, look.
We're going to try and get you more on here a little bit later, but like.
No, that's cool. And I want to shout out. I have a podcast too, Straight Out of Low Cash. you know, so y'all got to check us out too. But I'm Javon Bibb. That's at JOVANBIBBS on all social media. Yeah, man, we've been having some fun tonight, so, you know.
No, you from the bomb.
No, this is going to be the easiest set you've ever done in your life. This is 300 people that laugh.
Hey, you can't take any audience for granted.
No, you sure can't. This place is love. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I have heard about this place, though. I heard that they got the best crystal meth.
I hope you weren't talking to Kurt. Mesker, he'd just be like,
fuck that. He got serious looking.
Kurt, I love Kurt. Kurt is the only guy that'll say fuck everything. We did a Damian Lemon show, a comedy knockout together. I love Kurt. Kurt is good. Like, I like people like that. That's them.
Yeah.
Kurt been cussing people out in comedy since he got in comedy. You know what I mean? It's dope. And when you go down there, can you tell one of them to come up here and turn the thing on so I can know what? You tell the manager or something?
I ain't telling them shit. No.
I'm going to tell them not to write your motherfucking check.
Yeah. Trump card. Mm-hmm. Got that Trump card.
All right, KB, I'm going to turn it over.
Over to me? Why are you turning it over to me? All right, so... Now, but so how long have you been doing it though?
It'll be 4 years in October.
What?
Yeah.
I should push you down the stairs. You
damn, say, why?
Because I'm 6-7 years in this game, and I'm like, I'm not as funny as.
I'm sorry. But I mean, I got dude. But I've always been funny, so yeah. It's not like I didn't have to. Most people have to learn how to craft their funny. You know what I mean? I really didn't have to do that. I just had to learn the business behind it.
Yeah,
that's what I had to learn. I already knew funny. I was already writing in high school. Only reason why I wasn't a 15-year-old phenom in comedy was because I played football for one of the best programs in the country.
Where'd you play?
Virginia, Oscar Smith. Okay. I got a state championship ring. Like, we won the division 10 years in a row. Like, so, you know what I mean? I wasn't there for 10 years, but...
I was about to say, that's a super senior.
You was a coach.
Yeah.
So, that's the reason why I didn't start in high school. You know what I mean? So, like, I was already writing. I was already learning how to get to the funny. I was already practicing, not knowing I'm practicing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Thinking some funny shit and say it three times during the day. And then, you know, I'm on stage saying something. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I was already putting in the work, but didn't know I was putting in the work.
You were building the muscles.
Yeah, I was already building the muscles. So, now, when you learn how to use them, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you have to... What was something that you're like, damn, I'm glad I learned that lesson about the business? Like that moment, because I've had moments, I'm not even really in the business like that, but when I worked with a janky-ass promoter, I was like, I just learned a lesson.
Oh, see, I got a million of them stories, but I'm talking about as far as the business, like everybody know about janky promoters, everybody know about get your money before you go. I'm talking about if you're trying to progress in the industry, it's not just about funny.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Your funniest joke has to have perspective on something.
Damn.
I'm not saying it's got to be genius,
yeah.
But it's got to be it's got to be your personal. Like, everybody know fat people having sex is nasty. Everybody know that.
Yeah.
When I say two big people having sex is fun, it just don't make an attractive noise. That's a perspective. Like, not why is it not? Why is it nasty? Because of the noise you hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to. There's no premise that's hacked.
Well, it's like, it doesn't matter if it's a dick and fart joke, if it's your dick and fart joke.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if your heart ain't in it, don't matter how smart it is or whatever, you're a sellout. You're doing bullshit.
Everybody got a hairy pussy joke. Everybody. But don't nobody, eating a hairy vagina is like eating a kiwi with the skin still on it. You ain't never heard nobody say that. So the premise is, everybody got the same, we all live the same life.
Yeah.
But the joke is what has to be different.
Yeah.
So when you learn that, everything else is simple. Yeah. Everything else is falling into place. Keep being funny. Consistency. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's it.
Yeah. Earlier we were talking about specials, and we won't name the people or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
That you said was just straight garbage.
Garbage.
Some of them were funny comedians or are funny comedians.
Yeah, some of them are. But then...
Let's just be honest. Leonard was like, Chris Rock, he ain't shit.
Chris
Dave Chappelle
ain't shit.
Hang it up.
I wish I would say that. I wish I would. I'd choke myself if I said some shit like that. Not, but you know, I mean, because it's not a lot of opportunity out here for, like, networks. I don't know if people realize it. Networks are really trying, at one point they were trying to shy away from comedy.
Yeah.
There weren't no sitcoms on TV. People was like, all right, let's put this drama. Let's put a Law and Order SVU out. Let's put Chicago PD. Let's put Chicago. That's where the money's at. So when you got these people that's getting shows, that's doing good, you know, you got to do that. You got to put something out. But put something out that's dope.
Good. Yeah.
Put something out that's going to, you know what I mean? That, or at least try to.
Yeah. I think, like, as artists or as, like, funny people, you think that funny should be part of life, but it seems like entertainment looks at it like superhero movies or, like, any other is it just a trending thing?
Right.
We're going to cash in on it? We're going to get in, get out?
We're going to get these couple dollars, and then we're going to get on the next wave.
Yeah.
The thing about the industry now, it used to be that they find the talent and they'll groom it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With social media, Twitter, Instagram, Vine, it made it to where they want you to already be a star.
Yeah.
But how can you already be a star if you're not in place? You're not even in the galaxy. How are you gonna be a star if you're still on Earth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it don't work like that.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like they twisting. It's like they pushing you and pulling you at the same time.
And what's crazy about it is the people that they do bring through that come up on like Vine or YouTube, right? You know, like it the probability of them being really good in the settings that they put them in, like in stand-up, or giving them specials. That's what I was about to say. They don't have the longevity. They don't have the stamina, or like you said, you had been working those muscles. They haven't worked those muscles to the point to do an hour special or to run a show.
I have to be great at Vine and have to do an hour.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. It's not this. People don't understand. It's not the same. Like 15 seconds. If you take a minute joke, and make it funny every 15 seconds, that's different than putting one 15-second skit up.
Yeah.
Like just like doing 7-minute sets is different than doing 3 7-minute sets. It's different than featuring. You know what I mean? It's a muscle. It's an endurance thing.
Who can remember that much shit? Like I see like a Jimmy Carr or somebody that's just like joke. Man, I'd rather tell a story for 5 minutes than know 35 fucking jokes.
I'm sitting here right now trying to figure out the manager's email so I can send him my set list tonight. Because, it's too much material. Like, it's too much to try to remember an order. You know what I mean? Like, you want to stay in flow. And when you get into a joke, you get in too far into it. And you can't get out. And you know what I mean?
You done meandered your way to Lostville.
So you're based out of New York. What was it like? Like, first experiencing the comedy scene and then, like, getting integrated into it.
When I first moved to New York, I was decent. I was funny. I had original thoughts. I was funny. I had to get the urban. In Virginia, there's no urban comedy. Mm-hmm. It's mainly mainstream. Uh-huh. So I was good at I knew how to get up, go straight to my set, mm-hmm. 5-minute crisp, get off. But I didn't know how to go in and command a room. Mm-hmm. That's what Willie Lynch helped me do. Willie Lynch helped me learn how to command. It's one thing to go on stage and rip, but go on stage and rip and know why you're ripping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rip because you taking, where it's like you ripping their throat, right? It's like you grab them by the shirt and you slam them. You already whooped their ass. Yeah. But now it's just you slam them against the wall just to let them know I'm not playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I learned that, so like the first season, all the way up until I did Gotham, I was doing strictly urban.
Yeah.
Strictly urban. I did Gotham Comedy Live, flip. The next day, every agency calling me. Every manager trying to sign me. The next day. I don't know what. Nobody watches Gotham Comedy Live like that. You know what I mean? But I guess industry does. Mm. Because it's one of the only stand up shows that comes on every Thursday. You know what I mean? You know, like my manager, Chris Mazzilli, he books the show, but it's his club. You know what I mean? They know that he's a manager. He's booking good comics.
Yeah.
Who has he found that to put on the show? You know what I mean? So, like, low-key, he's creating a lot of comics that nobody's saying anything about. Mm. From his show, I got discovered. It wouldn't be no me without that show, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If I had never done that show, I can't say it wouldn't have happened. It would have happened through another
avenue.
But it was his avenue that, you know what I mean, that I drove down.
Yeah.
So they signed me that night before the show was even over. After I came off stage, they took me right downstairs.
Damn.
Signed me on the spot.
Let me ask you about some crazy shit. At least crazy for me. So I was kicking at the Cellar, and Kurt was like, hey, yo, it's a comics table. You can't be here. And I was like, I am a comic. I didn't say that, but I'm thinking that.
Right.
I was like, how the fuck did you get introduced to me? Like, because I'm a comic.
Right.
So I walked out. I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go outside. And then he texted me. He was like, yo, come back. Like, I didn't say you had to fucking leave. I just meant, like, you can't sit at the table. You can sit kitty corner to the table.
Yeah.
How did you get brought into the table? This legendary thing, especially for people not from New York.
Well, one thing, what day were you there?
I think it was probably Wednesday or Thursday.
It was probably a Friday or
Thursday.
Saturday. Had to be either Thursday through Saturday. No, they're not going to sit at the table. But if it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you're my mans, and I'm working on something, and I invite you to, if you get invited to the table, that's different.
All right.
You can get invited today. Hey, come help me with this real quick. You can get invited, but you don't just go sit at the table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't just walk into heaven, nigga. You got to die and get invited.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got into the Cellar. Agencies was trying to sign me before Montreal. When I found out I got Montreal, you know, the industry knows everything before we do.
Right.
So when I knew I had Montreal, CAA knew I had Montreal, William and Morris knew I had Montreal. So they're like, okay, what's going on? We need to, so everybody, I'm taking meetings with everybody.
Yeah.
I'm meeting. And, I don't know, my agent was like, hey, you think you're ready to audition at the Cellar? I was like, yeah. Went and auditioned, 5 minutes. She ended up letting me do 10 on my audition.
Wow. That's a beautiful thing.
From then on, I've been in the Cellar every time I send a Vails, I get a spot. Esty is the reason why I went to Montreal and had a good set. Esty's the reason why I haven't had to move back to New York. I mean, from New York to Virginia.
Yeah.
And like she's helped me pay my like if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have none of this. Because she helped, she kept me working, she kept me
rough in those streets too.
At the listen to why I'm not talking about I'm at some bar every weekend. Right. I'm at this where it's Greer Barnes. You're going up behind Chris Rock drops in and does 10 minutes in front of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You gotta go up, you gotta hurry up and do 7 because Louis's coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm at these clubs competing with y'all's favorite comics.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it forces you to get to a certain level fast.
Yeah.
Cause either you in the jungle, either you're gonna eat or be eaten. So that's the cellar is nothing but everything to me. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's nothing but everything. It's my everything in New York.
I'll tell you a funny, a small story is like, I was kicking with Felonious Monk when I got back.
My brother Felonious from VA.
I was like, yo, I met this really cool dude, like Oots. He was like, Leonard Oots. I was like, yeah, man, he gave me a chicken wing. He was like, he gave you a chicken wing? He must like you.
I was at Felonious' house last night. That's where I stayed at. Felonious.
Okay, that's what's
when up. I started in comedy, Felonious was already big from Stop
already
It B.
Already doing Stop
It Stop It B. He was on CNN.
Yeah.
Felonious took me on his wing. You know what I mean? Like, me and Felonious, we had open mics together.
Yeah.
We grinding. He moved to Chicago. He got a job in Chicago. And I'm in New York. I'm in Virginia by myself. I'm like, oh, my God. So he was like, hey, dog, he always called me Ace. Ace, you got to move to New York, man.
He came to Chicago to start writing for New York. Like, he did a weird thing.
Yeah, he's about to move to New York.
He's coming
out of New York, baby. Yeah, man. Another dude on the squad. Man, whenever I need that touch. Put that on there.
So you're talking about, like, once you did the fest, like, you started getting meetings like crazy. Like, what is it dealing with that and learning, like, who's bullshit and who's not? Because I imagine there's a lot of promises and a lot of, we see the potential in the babbity-bop.
Well, I don't really, it's not really a whole lot of, everything's bullshit until it's signed. So, you know, I could sit here and tell you all day, well, you know, such and such told me I was going to have, I ain't believe none of that. But you can tell from the meeting, you can tell from what's on the table if they really want you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I went to a certain meeting. They had, you know what I mean, granola bars and all that. I'm like, they're interested. But I went into one meeting. They had sandwiches. They had, you know what I mean, they had chips, like, still in the bag, Lay's. You know what I mean?
Catering tells you how serious the meeting is.
Yeah. You come in and they offer you water, then this is a get-in, get-out. Hey, how you doing? But I went into one. They had a bar. When I met my attorney, keep in mind, not a lawyer. When you broke, you got a lawyer.
Yeah.
When you're doing something, you got an attorney. When I met my attorney, this man had a bar in his office. A bar.
That's straight madman right there.
A bar. Yeah. You walking past the bar with a pool table. You're like, yeah, Will Ferrell was here last week. We was just shooting, you know what I mean, putting money on till we shoot dice. You know what I mean? Like just crazy. You know what I mean? So it's just you can tell from how they talk to you. You know what I mean? Like I'm one of them dudes. Like I'm 23. I don't want nobody. Hey, Mr. Hey, how you, sir? Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like, my agent, Matt. I love Matt Frost. Mm-hmm. What's up, bro? What's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it's business, it's business.
Right.
But when he texts me, like, what's up, bro? I heard you out there. You know what I mean? Like, treat me like we family.
Right.
You know, that's one thing about my agency and my management company. They treat me like they family. They call me on my birthday. They send me stuff. They let me know, hey, you good? What's going on? How your mom doing? How the new house? You know what I mean? What's going on? You know what I mean? Like when you talk to your sister, what's going? How's she doing in school? You know what I mean?
It's not that hard. It's not like it's hard to get them on the phone. Like they're reaching out. They're keeping in touch.
Yeah, they're calling me more. I'm ignoring they call. You know what I mean? I get upset about it, so they can tell I'm upset. They're like, hey, we're just trying to make sure you're all right. You know, like this, they care. You know what I mean? That's the thing. They care.
That's really dope because oftentimes you hear people say the opposite about that. Like,
right. But I also understand if I got cold and nobody wanted me, I can understand why. This is a job.
Right.
Just like it's a job for us, we're trying to feed our family. They're trying to feed their family.
Yeah.
Who going to keep riding the bike and it ain't no wheel on the back? Who? Who going to keep dragging that up the street? Who? Right.
Unfortunately, we are running late to get to our set. So I'm going to say, like, let's knock it out. 2 more questions each. I want to know, like, one of my favorite questions I've asked a couple people is, like, once you get to a certain level, and you're at that level, but, like, you're in the right places, you start to meet your heroes, the other comics. Like, what was your best experience of meeting the gods?
Bill Burr. I met Bill Burr in Montreal, and everybody's taking pictures with him, and I got my little new faces thing. I'm like, so you gonna know I'm a comic, and I'm gonna take a picture with Bill Burr. And I'm like, can I get a picture? And keep in mind, my managers are Bill Burr's like best friends. They play hockey and shit together. So I'm like, Bill, I'm like, hey, I'm with Levity, I'm done such and such. I'm like, can I get a picture? He's like, fucking no. You see, I'm taking pictures with all these. And I'm like, okay. I was like, I'm doing like, hey, put the phone down. Let's just go. Yeah. He was like, are you serious? I was joking. Come on. I'm like, I'm like, yes, there is a God, Bill Burr. So Bill, I mean, Bill's my one of my favorite comics. Roy Wood Jr. is one of my favorite comics, man.
Bill's one that me and him, I was like, he's so soft and sweet in person.
In person.
On stage, he's angry, he's scary, but in person, he's like, yeah, okay.
Because when he's on stage, he's able to say what he can't say in real, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not that what he can't say, but what, it'll be heard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can sit here and say, I hate you all day right now. But you be like, I don't give a fuck. But if I'm on stage, and I'm telling you and the rest of the world, hey, I hate you. Now they're wondering, like, well, what did he do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he knows how to be a performer. Like, man. To put something extra into it. To make it a show.
Right.
I'm not just going to say this stuff. I'm going to make it, this is going to be special for you. Oh, I wanted to ask, so you just did Conan. Is it your first TV appearance?
First
late night major. Set?
Yeah.
What was that, like, going through? Like, was it nerve-wracking, or was it cool, or was it, like...
I wasn't nervous at all, but I feel like... I'm used to doing clubs. I'm used to doing urban. So I'm not used to theaters yet. I'm not used to applause. I'm used to applause breaks, but I'm used to applause breaks when I can still talk over them.
Right.
You in a theater, they're above you. So the laughs are coming down on you.
Yeah.
So you can't even hear yourself still talking into the mic to hear that they're laughing. They can hear that you're laughing because they're laughing. Because you're getting drowned by laughs.
Yeah.
So you're still trying to talk. But you can't hear if they're hearing it. So that's why I, like in my set, I sort of stopped a few times and got applause because I was like, let me just go ahead and wait until I know that they're done laughing. You know what I mean?
It's like a really different rhythm where you're like, there's like this delay between you and the audience where you're waiting for it to come back in this giant space.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to like own the room in some like, I'm going to fight you for your energy, for your attention.
Right. Exactly. 100%.
Are we kidding right here?
But all right, so then you go to Conan. it's like, when are we ever going to get to talk to Leonard again? I mean, you know.
Whenever.
Dude, next year you're going to be the biggest comic.
And I'm still going to answer your calls, texts.
All right. I'm going to give KB the last question, and then we got to run. Hopefully we catch up with you for like.
Yeah, y'all. But when we get done here, we're going to see what time the movie start, and then we can come through wherever y'all. Just text me if you got my number, right?
No, but I got the Facebook, so I hit you on that.
I'll give you my number when we get done, too. Just text me and let me know where y'all at.
You got a lady?
Nah, I don't.
You got a fella?
Hell no.
Does he look like he got a fella?
Nah, I'm single. I got somebody that I, you know what I mean? But I got a couple, you know, I'm just, you know, 23 and living.
Dude, 23, celebrity, New York, like... You're living a new life.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You're re-understanding how relationships even function.
How they
from
work.
A different level.
It's different. It's crazy. Let's go ahead and end before I say some shit. But thanks for having me, man. If you're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, my name, Leonard Oots, LEONARDOUZTS, one word, on everything. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
everything.
Snapchat.
Everything.
My thing with Tracy is this. I don't fall for no banana and no tailpipe. I don't listen to anybody that says it. I believe the opposite. I try to make the opposite opinion right away.
Yep.
Tracy's been that a long time. Tracy's been frivolous with his performances a long time. He say some ill shit. Not just fucking gay and shit. But here's what he's doing now. As simple as this, man.
Mm-hmm.
The game we're in is like jail. You gotta be, there's no rogue, lonely, gunslinger guy in Hollywood. There's no, I do it myself, and nobody fucks with me.
Do it my way.
My way. Hell it me. Ain't none of that. You gotta be affiliated. Like, if you go to prison, you can't go in there and go, hey, I'm just gonna read my gun books and, you know, I'm just gonna chill out. You gotta join something.
Yeah.
And if you don't join something, the guy's gonna find out, so who you affiliate with? Well, I'm just chilling out, I'm just hanging.
I'm my own person.
I'm gonna rape you. Because you have no affiliations, my friend.
Right.
You're not down with a cartel. So, what Tracy, this is conjecture, but Tracy's just paying what he owe. It's like The Godfather. The guy goes, Godfather. And he goes, well, you never even fucking say hi to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Here's my deal. I'll do what you want. And when I need you, I'm just going to come get what I need. And he goes, you hear this, knock on the door. And it's like, you got to pay me back.
Yeah.
Tracy owes a lot of people his career. Because why do you think he could say, now trust me, people that know Tracy, he says some ill shit that he could get in trouble like he is for every day. This time around, he said something, and they said, oh, he's a good time. Tracy, yeah, what's up? Yeah, you know, you're in deep shit. We're going to make you apologize, but you owe. And the fear that guy, that when you owe, is that they're going to take everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
So if they didn't make you, they can't really break you. And you see, I say they. It's the cartels, man. You do not, look at, gay people have a powerful cartel. I affiliate myself with Jews, low-level to mid-level Jews, because they deal in money. You pay them dough. You here's your 10. Can I have a little, can I do my thing over here, pay you this? I'm not big enough to get in big trouble, so is it possible that I can just do this? Here's your dough. And the thing I like about Jews, dealing with them as a cartel, is they don't want you to be Jewish. You don't have to join. You don't have to give anything but what you owe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fucking, you don't have to fucking go to the parties.
You don't have to put on the yarmulke.
You don't have to do it.
No. Mm-hmm.
So it's a very fair thing. A lot of these cartels, man, you gotta be that.
Gotta be in with them and, you got and believe, to be that. And believe they, everything they believe in.
You got, yes.
Don't speak ill of them.
Yep.
Yep.
And the thing is, you know, Tracy has to pay what he owes. And I knew that when Tina Fey turned on him. Tina Fey has been his great benefactor for many years.
Sure.
So this one thing has turned the tides of Tracy's career, meaning it's made him public enemy number one. When I heard this story pass one day, I said, Tracy's the new spokesman for gay shit now.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. We said yesterday, Patrice, that they grab you as a hostage.
You have to be a hostage.
But he's a hostage to GLAAD right now, and GLAAD will let Tracy know when they're done with him.
They're not ever going to be done with him, because it's power. It's corruptible, man. Like, when a bully takes your money, he don't go, thank you, I just needed it today.
He keeps going.
Tracy had, I don't know how much money he got in the bank, but I would think it's enough to say, no, leave me alone.
Fuck you.
And he sets himself up where Tracy doesn't have, like, if I'm saying this, I'll hear from Tracy, meaning, yo, don't talk shit about, shut the fuck up, nigga. Like, don't, I'm on your side. I know what you're going through. But I made a decision. That's why people go, well, why Patrice isn't? I don't want to owe that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Because there's people that count on me to have a revolutionary attitude sometimes, just where I argue.
Yeah.
So I let a lot of people down if I put myself in a position to have to flop around on my belly.
To have to be a spokesperson like that.
That's why I talk so much. Because I want people to understand what I'm saying. Now, if I talk about gays and talk about anything I have a problem with, I'm going to make sure if they're going to end my career, you know that it's a muscle move, that it's unfair, that it's not just, because Tracy just goes, faggots, 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 and more faggots, and if my son was a faggot, and then you go, Tracy, what the fuck? He didn't say nothing to apologize for.
Mm-hmm.
What are you apologizing for?
Yeah, you were doing your act.
But he's
been on a comedy stage.
But the people who make you owe, they go, this guy is setting himself up to owe us big, because we're allowing him to feel himself. I'm going to pull my stomach out. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to be drunk. I'm going to fucking get DUIs. I'm going to fall downstairs. I'm going to get a kidney from a bitch and leave her. I'm going to do all kind of shit.
Holy shit.
I'm going to do all kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I'm invincible. Then I do something that I do all the time. Faggots, faggots. And now, his benefactor. Oh. We're disgusted with him. And now they pick him up by the fucking hem of his neck and the back of his drawers and toss him out into every gay thing. Tracy's from the hood.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'd be dealing with.
Tracy's from the hood. You understand?
Yeah.
You're going to get... You're now the new... From a guy who just goes, faggots, to the understanding, delicious spokesman for gayness. You got to watch. These motherfuckers watch TV and see the trends. There's a commercial I hate so much.
I am a student of commercials, by the way.
I hate this commercial so much. I don't know how to approach how much I hate it. Mm. Because gay also means happy.
Sure does.
Now, we can play that game, but gay does mean happy. Homosexuals have commandeered the word gay into where it's not happy anymore. Because there's a commercial because the boss of the Phoenix Suns came out the closet. The boss of the Phoenix Suns is gay. And they do a commercial where they're playing basketball and the guy's like, hey, man, you suck.
Yep.
Hey, man, you ain't nothing. Hey, man, you ain't got no jump shot. And then one guy goes, yeah, your moves are gay.
Oh. What? Yeah.
And then he has some of the Phoenix Suns on the spokesman like, hey, man, that's not cool to say
nah.
that. Gay is... What?
They don't believe that.
We motherfucker, so now...
Right.
No. Fucking moms. Like, look... Here's what we all let happen. We all let context be destroyed.
Yeah.
Context is gone.
And that was...
I can't slip up. I can't say nothing. You can't understand what... You don't feel me? You don't feel what I'm saying? Look, what he did, I can't go, oh, I can defend that. But I will say this. Here's what happens with Tracy. Here's what can happen. And, you know, I believe in conspiracies, man.
Mm-hmm.
It just sets people up who want to control everyone, right? Where you go, okay, Tracy, you go, a guy like Tracy, he isn't qualified to have an opinion. This having an opinion, it should be in the hands of people who are qualified intellectually. So guys like him, if he don't have a degree, if you don't, they'll start making language elite where you can't have an opinion. But I say Tracy can be as ignorant, as fucked up as he wants to be, because I want to be able to communicate. And if I'm fucked up, let me be fucked up. But I support anything as long as you're not hitting me and robbing me.
Right.
Hate speech. Why can't I hate you?